Hey guys, this is Cole Kublik from WJOX in Birmingham and the SEC Network, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
White Rocket Entertainment.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 409.
A miracle in Jordan Hare! A miracle in Jordan Hare!
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, in association with the WarEagleReader.com, and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family. We love you all so much via Patreon.com. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, it's getting closer. It's getting closer. This is our last episode before the big barbecue extravaganza that leads us right into the season. Am I correct?
It is. That's the next episode. That's very exciting.
So, since the next episode is pretty much wall-to-wall eating barbecue and predicting wildly accurate football game and season outcomes, because of that, I think today's episode is going to be something entirely different. Today's episode is going to be pretty much listener questions wall-to-wall. Am I correct?
You are correct, sir.
All right. So, before we want to save as much time as we can to get into our listener questions, but before we do that, there are a couple of breaking news briefs. So tell us what's going on so that I can scream,
"Oh my God!"
Yeah, exactly. So what's going on?
Well, fall football practice started, and we already have an injury.
That's a bad thing.
Anthony Schwartz, wide receiver, very fast young man, hurt his hand and had surgery today.
Man, we just can't win.
And he's expected to be back, but I think he's going to miss the first couple of games.
Man, we just can't get all of our good players on the field at the same time.
I mean, it's possible he could be out there for Oregon with some kind of cast on or something, but it's not ideal for a receiver.
No.
And he's a really important guy, so you know, we want to like hold him out and try and get him healthy for that big Texas A&M first SEC game. So that'll be a big question. And then the big thing is fall camp's underway, competition's happening, the QB race is the big headliner, of course, and they both look good so far. And yeah, the big first scrimmage is Thursday. And that should go a long way towards making a decision. I don't think we're going to hear anything for a few weeks, but that'll be a big decision point on the road to making the decision about who the quarterback's going to be that starts against Oregon.
And it's so predictable, too, because it always goes this way, this kind of thing. We haven't had as big of a quarterback battle as this in a while, but it always kind of goes this way where, like, for a while – I thought it was dead even, and so I even did a little Twitter poll a couple of weeks ago to see if people agreed with me, and everybody's like, "Oh, no, it's absolutely going to be Gatewood, absolutely Gatewood." And I'm like, "Oh, I guess it's going to be Gatewood." And as soon as everybody started saying, "Oh, it's absolutely going to be Gatewood," we had the first couple of days of practice this last few days, and everybody's like, "Oh, it's going to be Nix, it's going to be Nix, look out, unexpected, he's going to take it away." And I'm just like, that's so predictable, right? All the experts first say it's an ironclad lock one thing, and then, oh, no. Then they swing back the other way. It's an ironclad lock the other way. So we really don't know yet, do we?
No, we don't. But it is a good problem to have, having two talented young quarterbacks.
Yeah, you can't really complain. And you know, it's funny because some people are saying, you know, as soon as one of them wins the job, the other one's going to transfer or whatever. But honestly, I mean, in the SEC, one, especially a running-oriented quarterback, and both of these guys, to one degree or another, are allegedly supposed to be dual threat, although, you know, I know, but still, they're supposed to be. In the SEC, and for a freshman, or a redshirt freshman, that's dangerous business, and the likelihood of going the entire season without having to bring the other guy in a little bit seems to me pretty low. If they were both seniors and had, you know, 10 or 15 more pounds of muscle on them, and were wily veterans, I'd be like, you know, maybe they could do like Cam and get through the whole 2010 season without really getting hurt to the last game. But I feel like we should not go into this season with the expectation that one of these guys is going to win the job and never get hurt. Am I
Or never struggle.
Yeah, or never. Yeah, exactly. So I think you need both of them in the SEC these days.
Yes. Because one of them's going to be banged up, or one of them's going to have a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to need the other one to bail us out. So, I think they're both going to play. And we'll get plenty of time to talk through this, but
yeah,
and there are questions about it. So we'll leave that. The other big news is, you know, really good recruiting news over the last few weeks, but this weekend especially. I mean, there was a point in like a few months ago where I was freaking out about recruiting, but now we're on this big roll. And this weekend we got 2 4-star defensive backs, a junior college cornerback, and a 4-star safety out of Texas. And we've got a few offensive line recruits recently. The receiver class looks great. The linebacker class looks great. We have a big announcement Friday of a 4-star running back that we really want, Tank Bigsby.
Oh, we want this guy. I saw that if we get him, our class jumps up to 5 or 6.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. It's funny because it depends on which recruiting service you look at, right? Because some of them have that we have a couple of 5 stars, and some of them say we don't have any 5 stars. But I think they all agree we got quite a few 4 stars.
Yes. And the bottom line is this. This coaching staff is recruiting at a very high level right now, being very successful at it.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of fans who are all like, it's terrible. Or, you know, things are bad with Gus and he's not doing a good job, but they are recruiting as well as Auburn has ever recruited this minute.
Yeah.
And so that's an exciting thing. I think he's done a real good job with the newer hires in terms of them helping with recruiting, with Dillingham and Carnell on the offensive side, and bringing back Wesley McGriff on the defensive side. And I think it's, you can tell.
Yeah, I saw somebody complain the other day. They said, you know, we're number 5 in the SEC in recruiting. This coaching staff sucks. I'm like, dude, being number 5 in the SEC means you're like number 6 in the country. So let's not get crazy here. I mean, because you can't out-recruit Nick Saban and the way Georgia's been doing the last couple of years doesn't mean, you know, it's that same myopic thing we always talk about where if you only look at what's above you and think, gosh, I'm not in first place, I must be in last place, you don't seem to understand there's 115 programs behind you.
That's right.
All right. Well, I'm certainly hoping we add an armored cavalry component to our ground game this on Friday. That would be excellent.
It'd be a great name. It'd be fun to have him just for the name.
Oh, I think if his name was like Tank Abrams or Tank Patton. But yeah, that's an absolute, and he looks like a tough kid. I saw a picture of him and I was like, this is like looking at a young Takeo Spikes. I'm like, yikes. All he has to do is just like they hand him the ball and he glares at the defense and they get out of the way and let him just, you know, stroll into the end zone. He looks like a tough guy, a tough character to me. So.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, and as you said, the name, like next, a year from now, like we got Brodarius Ham open up a hole for Tank Bigsby.
Oh man.
Come on.
You can't beat that. That's it. That is it. That's right. I'm looking forward to being able, I hope we get him. So that I can then say,
well, we got a cage strong enough to hold an animal like you here.
And we say, no, you don't. No, you don't. You do not. You think you do, but you don't. All right. Anything else going on before we get into our big extravaganza of listener questions?
No, I mean, there's plenty of other stuff, but I think we'll get to most of it through the list.
We'll get in the questions, right. All right, yeah, we don't want to duplicate, so let's dig into it. Now, I guess that means that early in our program, I pushed the aqua-colored button on my screen, and it goes...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister. It's time for listener questions. Dun, 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 dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
And I say huge.
Yeah, it is huge tonight.
Huge.
Yeah. All right, let's do it.
All right. First question from Auburn Chris. Are you guys going to do the barbecue SEC East West podcast?
Are we ever? Are yes. we ever? Yeah, next episode, right? Is that you have the you are the master keeper of the schedule? Is that we have it penciled in for a week from today?
That's the plan.
All right.
So the big thing to the reason I put this question first is because, you know, we're not going to give away the farm in this episode as we answer these questions.
That's a good point.
We're going to answer your questions honestly, but they're prediction things that we can't say yet because they're part of that next week's podcast.
Because we haven't eaten the barbecue, so we don't know, John. We could.
That's right.
We think we know, but do we really know without the barbecue? And of course, the answer is no.
No, we don't know.
So we'll next episode we will eat of the fine barbecue and it will magically reveal unto us the answers to the questions that vex and trouble us, which are how will Auburn do this year and how will the rest of the SEC do? And we get down to numbers, man. We give actual numbers like, you know, 8-5 or 15-0 or whatever it's going to be. So we will get to that very soon.
All right. First question is from Jeremy Minton.
Hey, Jeremy.
He says, do you think Coach Dillingham will be at Auburn after this year if Gus has a successful season, a 10-plus win season, is not fired? He's been great for Gus, and I wonder his thoughts on his timetable before he gets his own full-time OC job, War Eagle.
Yeah, because he's not he's the offensive coordinator to a degree, but he's really not. He's sharing the title with Cody Burns, and Gus is calling the plays. So we really kind of have a triumvirate, don't we? We have a three-headed offensive coordinator this year. Now, as soon as I say that, I start getting in a cold sweat and a blind panic and thinking, oh, my gosh, this is a recipe for disaster. But I think it really is more like – Cody works on part of the offense before game day, and Kenny Dillingham, he works on part of the offense before game day, particularly I think the quarterbacks, and then on game day I think it's pretty much Gus. I'm sure they can make suggestions and commentary, but I think it's going to be Gus. So It sounds like a disaster in waiting to have a three-headed offensive coordinator, but I think the way they're going to do it is pretty much the only way you can really do it. Now, if he is successful, you got to think he's going to need more than, you know, if we win the national championship, then yeah, you know, he might be a hot commodity immediately, but otherwise I think we have him for a couple of 2 or 3 years
He's a very young coach.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so no, I think he's going to be here regardless of what happens to the offense this year. I think he's going to be here for several years, and I think here's the other part. I mean, Gus is not going back to handing over the keys to somebody else.
No,
like that's ship has sailed.
Yes.
So it needs to be somebody like Dillingham who goes into the role willingly, knowing that's the deal. And Dillingham is fine with it because he's a young coach and he's learning and he's still getting to go out and, you know, help with the game playing and organizing the offense and all that stuff. So I think it's a good arrangement, and I don't think he's going anywhere. But I do think he's made a big difference in terms of helping give some more juice to the offensive recruiting.
I was just going to say, yeah, his recruiting seems to be, at least from what I've heard from some of the guys that cover the team on a day-to-day basis, that he seems to be making an impact on recruits.
All right. The next question comes from David Hegler.
Mm-hmm. A lot of our patrons, by the way, this time. That's good.
Yeah. And his question is Gustavo a great coach, but he has to deal with Saban, or is he just a mediocre coach? And he says, my opinion is he's a good coach, but Saban is only one guy, and him losing, you know, him being in Alabama has nothing to do with, you know, the LSU game the last 2 years or Tennessee.
Right. That's fair. That's fair. I got to be honest. I mean, every time, you know, in the off season, I'm not as ticked off at things that Gus does. So by the time it gets to be June and July, I've become very forgiving. You know, I'm like, well, think of the good stuff. But, you know, in the depths of September and October, I'm like, dang it, Gus, what's your problem? You know, so I will freely admit that I'm as hypocritical as anybody, you know, and it's hot and cold. It's Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, that's just human. That's human. You know, we think about the positive things when we're not in the heat of the moment. But in the heat of the moment, we get mad and we're like, why did you do that? So, no, I mean, I think that he's absolutely right in pointing out that even though Gus is a good coach, in times a great coach, in times a very frustratingly not good coach, very much all over the map, but he has done some things that hold him back from being able to say, you know, he's a great coach.
It's fair. And I think we did the Trial of Gus episode last year.
Yeah.
And went really through, I feel like, in depth in kind of the pro and con piece of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, the statement thing is part of it. I think he's, you know, we have to play a very difficult schedule and played a lot more top 10 and top 5 teams than a lot of other teams have, a lot of other coaches have who have good reputations. But there, that's, I mean, true. He has. And so what I always think is, you know, what are the games that I feel like he's lost when we were the better team? And those kind of games, the Tennessee game, you know, is the kind of game that sticks with you, mm-hmm. because you feel that way.
That was the only – I just saw this the other day. There was a statistic about that game. That was the only game in a while against Kevin Steele Auburn defense that the other team scored 30 or more points and wasn't Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous that Tennessee team is the only team – other than Alabama, to score more than 30 points on Kevin Steele's defense.
It just – I mean, again, I think the – we'll get into this some – but I think the Auburn offense really was struggling, you know, by that – Whitlow, I think, was hurt at that point. Mm. And the offense was really struggling the second half of the season. And I think the defense got worn down a little bit too.
Yeah, yeah. They got to have some help.
So –
yeah,
it's a tough one. I mean, I think Gus is a very, very good coach. But does that mean he's perfect? Does that mean he's the best coach we can get? You know, does that mean he's going to win every game? No. But I do think you could see when things are right that he can do good things. And I think, you know, you said a long time ago, if we're going to have Gus as the coach, I want Gus's offense.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to go back to getting Gus's offense, and that's exciting.
And by the way, I can't recommend highly enough that if you haven't heard the Trial of Gus Miles On episode, I mean, John, that was the most John-centric episode we've probably ever done, right? You really prepared for that. You brought everything to the table on that one. I just pushed the buttons over here. That was awesome. And so go back. In fact, I should probably drag that one out and run it in an off week before the season starts. Just to let people hear it again or hear it that didn't hear it before, because that was really good. But it's in, if you go to auwishbone.podbean.com, you can just scroll back a couple of pages and find it. It's pretty obvious.
All right. Next question is from Thomas Brinson. He says, hi, guys. I'm a big fan of the show. We've been listening to y'all for some time.
Awesome.
I know everybody's been wondering who their starting quarterback is going to be, but that's not really a concern for me because they're both pretty good. What I want to know is, who do you think is going to start at running back? Would it be Booby Whitlow or DJ Williams? That he says DJ reminds me a lot of Michael Dyer. What are your thoughts?
Who reminds him of Dyer?
DJ Williams, the freshman.
I don't think we've seen enough of him to be able to make that evaluation.
Well, he's physically that kind of player. He had a good A-day game.
Okay. Well, if he's comparable to freshman level Dyer, that would be perfectly fine with me, because that's the kind of back we've needed. We've got the little fast guy, you know, and we've got a kind of a young Trey Mason, like his freshman year with Booby Whitlow, but we needed that bowling ball. So that would be great. Now, I heard he was a little banged up or something. Does that ring a bell for you?
Yeah, he has been banged up at the beginning of practice. But I don't. He's not expected to miss significant time.
Okay.
I think Whitlow is the 100% the clear starter. He's going to be the starter against Oregon. And I think he's going to be the main guy. The real question is, we have good depth at running back.
We do.
And Whitlow is not, Ben Tate or whatever. So he doesn't need 35 carries a game. We need to spread it out, parse it out, so he's healthy down the stretch. And because DJ Williams is one of the few running backs that, you know, I think has real talent kind of carrying the ball inside the tackles, I think he's going to get a real shot. I think it's Whitlow is the guy, and I think Sean Shivers is kind of the next back, the explosive, change of pace guy, the third down guy, there's some sweep guy that, you know, that'll bring in a few series a game to add a spark. Cam Martin is still in the team and is still going to play.
I have something to say.
I know you have something to say about him, but my feeling is if we got 30 carries a game, I'd like to give Whitlow 15 and Shivers, 8 and DJ Williams 7 or something. That's kind of how I would do it.
Well, that's the thing I was going to say. We have, for the first time in a while, we've got some depth at running back, but what's interesting is it's such a mixture. We don't really have two of anything, Whitlow is kind of he's one of those hybrid backs. He's not really a power back, but he's not really a speed guy. He's kind of like just the medium, you know what I mean? He's kind of like in the middle of everything. He's enough of a power back when he's healthy to get you 3 yards on the dive play, but he can also catch a pass and run outside and stuff. And then, Shivers is the Lionel James, basically. He's the little quick guy. He's almost Ontario McCaleb. And then, DJ would be kind of hopefully a power back. That's what we need. And then, of course... it is Cam Martin. Cam Martin's been on our football team ever since they invented the forward pass. So we've got quite a variety, and I'm looking forward to having some depth beyond just... Because, it's great to have five, running backs, but if only one of them can do each thing, then you lose one guy, you can't do that thing anymore. We do need more depth.
And we didn't even talk about Mark Anthony Richards, who is, a really highly recruited running back that we signed last year. He's a very talented guy, but he, didn't get here till the summer. And I think so he's a little behind the curve on that stuff. But I think he has a ton of natural ability. And I think long term, he and DJ Williams could be a great 1-2 punch.
Oh, yeah. And then with Tank coming up, hopefully behind them. Although, again, I know I'm getting my Tank before the horse. But I don't care because I want this really bad. I don't know who we'd get if we don't get him.
All right. Our next question is from Van Plexico.
I've heard of him.
That guy. So he says, which former Auburn player could you see most being a future Auburn head coach?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this question. A conversation on Twitter brought that to my mind, and I thought, well, instead of putting it on Twitter and just asking, let's have it on the show, and then we can see what people say on Twitter after the show or wherever, or if they want to email in or whatever on their thoughts. But, yeah, I mean, because here's the thing. There's really – correct me if I'm wrong. There's really two positions on the field that seem to me to produce the most head coaches, and that's quarterback and offensive lineman. Right, you don't get a lot of running backs or receivers that become head coaches. You don't get a lot of defensive players. Not that many.
I think there's a fair number of defensive players.
Yeah, well, what position though did they play?
There's some linebackers I'm thinking about that maybe are coaches.
So. Yeah, because they're
safety.
Having.
I mean,
I guess so. But mostly quarterbacks and offensive linemen, I think, is where you generally seem to get them. And I was just trying to think which of our former. Quarterbacks and offensive linemen most fit that sort of mold. And I had a hard time thinking of anybody that really jumps out at me.
Well, I mean, I will throw you a couple of candidates. Are you ready?
Right, yes.
How about former Auburn players that are currently on the coaching staff?
Oh, there you go. I like it.
So I mean, I've heard people say that people gave Gus a hard time when he hired Cody Burns, but I've heard multiple people say they think long term that he's going to be a head coach somewhere.
That
he has that
awesome.
Kind of talent and ability.
I will root for that team.
And I think Travis Williams is another guy.
Yes.
You know, I think he is the co-defense coordinator right now at Kevin Steele. I mean, it's Kevin Steele's defense, but I think he's been given that title. And I think, you know, imagine – I'm just going to paint a picture here, okay?
Paint away.
You know, say it's 5 years from now. Gus is still at Auburn because he's been very successful, okay? Kevin Steele
go ahead.
Kevin Steele's retired after like two more years, and then the linebackers coach moves up and becomes defense coordinator and does a really good job of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, you know, whatever, Gus decides to hang it up.
Mm-hmm.
Why not Travis Williams at that point?
As soon as you said it, the lights came on. I'm like, yes, Travis Williams will be a head coach, and he'll be a very – very successful head coach, and I would love to have him one day as the Auburn head coach, because that is a dude, man. He can recruit. Yep. He's got charisma. He's smart. He's tough. He has a great story of his own. You know, I was not, you know, I was like a one star or something and became an all SEC linebacker, you know, with guys around him that were so much higher recruited than him on the team, on his team. You know,
that's
he
right.
Absolutely. I hope. And you never know how these things are going to work out. But, man, I would go to war. I'd put on a helmet and strap it on and go to war behind Travis Williams. I think a lot of people would. That would be awesome. Yeah, I agree. I didn't think of him, but, yeah, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
All right. Next question. Question from Pat Ringer.
Mm-hmm.
Will we win the national championship and by how much?
Will we go for two when we score against Alabama to make it 100-0?
The by how much question is 42.
Yeah, and who will we beat in the playoff championship game? Clemson?
Yeah, this is not the barbecue episode. I can't go there yet.
No, we're still – this is not serious. I'm not putting any – no, but that would be nice.
Van like Plexico, his, prediction national championship.
Yeah, no. Patrick Ringer, you talk to your brother. But, yeah, I like his optimism, at least in his question. Because, like Charles Barkley would say,
in March Madness, let's shock the world.
Except in the fall, Charles, in football. Yeah, in football.
It's pretty good.
It just keeps doing this for a while. Go ahead.
It's a big explosion.
Yeah, it's a big.
All right. Our next question from Sky Underwood.
Yeah.
He said, Tom Luganville recently stated, rather confidently, might I add, that the 2019 Auburn Tigers are the most talented team Gus has had at Auburn as head coach. My question, is it the most talented Auburn team Gus has ever coached, including – that he has coached at Auburn, including as OC.
I don't have facts to back this up.
But I feel like, well, the teams he coached as offensive coordinator, I mean, the 2010 is the one you obviously look at. And I think we've had this conversation before that the 2010 team had glaring weaknesses. It was not the most talented. It was in places the most talented team we've ever had. In a few places. And in a few places, it was a very not-so-talented team. I've mentioned before, that was a team with one linebacker and one cornerback. So, hence we give up 21 points every first quarter that we played that year, just about. But I would say if one of those quarterbacks works out and the running backs are what we hope they are, then... Yeah, I can't think of another. I mean, because 2014's offense maybe was better, more experienced at that point, but the defense was not as good in a lot of ways. You know, that was a patched together linebacker core and everything. So, what do you think?
I think you could probably do some kind of analysis about recruiting rankings over time and how many blue chip players are on this team, like four or five star guys versus other teams. But I think it's like you thought about it the right way. It's this team versus 2010 and 2013, right? And 2017 maybe.
Yeah.
And
when they were healthy, yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the way I think about it is not just like who are the key players, whatever, but 1 to 85, how talented were they? And I think maybe this is the most talented team 1 to 85. Now that's saying a lot, but I'm talking about, you know, that we have more depth and more talented depth than we much more than the 2010. Mm-hmm. And I think more than in 2013. Now, do we have the, you know, the super duper stars? I don't know. We're going to see. But I think we have a lot more, you know, A minus, B plus guys on the second team, you know, than we ever did in any of those years. And I think we got some of those guys in the second and third team, especially on defense. We got a lot of talented guys on defense that could play. On the defensive line at linebacker and secondary. We had a lot of good defensive players.
Well, let me ask you and this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just – but I think – so, you know, and we're talking about talent. We're not talking about, you know, are they the best? I mean, the two guys competing at quarterback are both very talented guys.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. If you took 2010 Cam Newton – and left everything else on this, if you could go back in time and get 2010 Cam Newton from August of 2010 and plug him in as the starting quarterback and leave everything else about this year's team the way it is, would they go 14-0?
Oh, shit, yeah. And it wouldn't even be close.
Yeah. All right. All right. You think receivers...
We don't have Nick Fairley, but... our defense is going to hold a lot of teams to a lot lower scores than the 2010 team.
That's true. On the one hand, we don't get the huge sack. But on the other hand, we don't give up three passes over the top for a touchdown the first three plays of the game or stuff like that.
That's right.
What about the receivers? I mean, though we had three at least, well, four if you count Lutzy as a receiver, really good receivers on that team in 2010. How our receivers do you think compare this year?
I mean, those were really good players. I think Seth Williams is a really, really good player. We have some other guys that I think could be there. Schwartz, mm-hmm. I think, again, we have the two guys returning, the experienced guys coming back from injury, Eli Stove and Will Hastings. We got the guys who haven't played a lot. Matthew Hill, I think, you know, Matthew Hill was a higher recruited receiver coming out of school than Seth Williams or Anthony Schwartz. And he redshirted last year, but I think he's going to play and he's going to play a lot. So I think, you know, he could be coming out of high school, we compared him to Darvin Adams. That's the guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think he could be that guy. Seth Williams could be the big time guy, and Schwartz could be the speed guy. And then we got these other guys as kind of the release valve kind of guy. I mean, we got another guy, the transfer, JJ Wilson, is going to be kind of, I think, the main H-back kind of guy. And he's a really good receiver. I think he could be a good dump off receiver too. So, I mean, I think they could get there. Again, I think a good quarterback makes receivers look better than they are.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in the long term, these guys, you know, might be better than those guys, but they're not better than they are today.
Let me pause here. Before we do the patron thing, I want to announce that, and this is not 100% solid yet, but we're pretty sure, am I right, that we are going to do another video live show from the plains this fall. And we've been spending the last couple of months kind of looking at different dates, and it was really hard for us to find a date that worked for both of us and for our great executive producer, Auburn Elvis. But we've now got word. It works for John. It works for me. It works for Elvis. And it works for the AU bookstore. So it sounds like all the ducks are lining up in a row. If everything works out, again, it's not absolutely on a lock yet, but we pretty much think that we're going to do our second live video show this fall, and it will be, I don't have a drum roll sound effect. I got everything else. It will, last year was from Arkansas game, and it was hot as crap. This year, we will be at the Georgia game.
Holy cow! Oh my God!
There we go. So John and me live on video with Auburn Elvis and hopefully a guest star or two. We had Brandon Marcello come on last year. We'll see if we can get Brandon back or if we can get anybody else maybe to come on and have a good old time at the AU bookstore. So, and have folks come by, and that'll be great. So you looking forward to that?
Very excited.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
if
you, in case you haven't forgotten, Van and I hate Georgia.
We do. So we're going to, that's going to be an interest. It was like, do we really want to pick that weekend? But, you know, I guess if we're going to do it, let's do it big time and do it right. Now the next question is going to be, can we find tickets at this late date for that game? So we'll probably be around trying to scratch up tickets for us and or our families or whoever comes along with us. And I'm not even sure right now who will be coming with me. Hopefully Amy and Mira. But we will see. So, meanwhile, as always, I got to thank our patrons who keep this show on the air and who do things like enabling us to be able to do the video show, because that costs a pretty penny to get everything going down there. But the patrons last year really came through in a big way, and some people joined, and they boosted their monthly pledge a bit, and they got us to Auburn for that one, and we're going to do it again. So please, if you ever wanted to help us out between now and the November, would be a good time to jump on board. Here are the folks, by the way, if you want to jump on board, just go to www.auwishbone.com, click the orange become a patron button, it'll take you right in there, and you can join the other folks that we thank every episode for as little as a dollar a month, though we'll appreciate more. That'll help. Every little bit helps. And the folks that are currently doing it, we always thank Brennan O'Dwyer. He gave us a big-time contribution early on, and that means just as much as a little one over time. So I always want to thank Brendan. And then there's Samuel Salvatore, Christopher Burleson, and Carl Von Drunker. And there's Trevor Johnson, Phil Amthor, Winston Boddy, Willie Carden, Susan Trawick, Ben Spooner, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, Justin Bean, Steve Trawick, and Richard Stevens. And we have a few new ones. We got Ross Zorn. We've got Kevin Smith. We got Clarence Alford, David Hegler, Robert Mendenhall, Johnny Caldwell, Reynolds Wolf, Valiant Hermes, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Clay Henson, Ann Kangian, Catherine England, George Gaston, Will Summerford, John McCune, Tom Anderson, David Evers, Andrew Barber, Timothy, Steve Harlan, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Rich Reimer, Jared Albrick, William Glenn Matthews, Joel Beckham, Spanky, Theodore Gary, Shannon Butson, Taylor Sanford, Mickey B, Hugh Anderson, Shane Bailey, Mick Vigicana, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, Tony Perry, Alex Nguyen, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Earl Ricks, Mike Finley, C.T. Wayne, and Dave Powell, and then a couple more new ones, Thomas Brinson, David Smiley, Jeremy Minton, Lane, who we heard from a minute ago, Lane Middleton, Donnie Reynolds, Wade Carson, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Chris Camo, Darren Pyle, Chris Wardam Wade, Jason Albrick, Randall Walker, we're almost to the end, Ben Amos, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, Rob Morgan, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Nicholas Craig, Russell Milling, Matthew Wagstaff, Joey Miller, Mark Squire, Brant Rumble, J.W. Rice, Michael Morton, Lawrence Kane, our one-time and occasional donors, including Surfer Chickify and our anonymous donors. Thank you all very, very much. And I wanted to say, by the way, that I do this list by hand. Patreon lets me know when somebody signs up, and then I have to kind of like manually take that and add it to our constantly updated list. So, if you're a listener and you're a patron and I leave you off, just let me know. There's no malicious intent involved, I promise. It just means that somehow I missed the little notification and didn't get you put on the list. So just let me know, and I will make sure that you are added to the list to thank. And we thank you all. Just go to www.auwishbone.com. Oh, and one other thing, John. One other thing is I will be at Dragon Con again. This will be my 22nd year at Dragon Con. I'll be a guest again this year of the convention. I'll have a table at Comic Artists Alley. And so come on over, and I'll be there on and off during the whole weekend. And I'm having a reading, which is where they put aside a room, I believe, in the Hyatt Regency for authors to have readings. We get a whole hour. And every year we fill that room up pretty much with either people who like my sci-fi and my superhero stuff, or we get a lot of Auburn folks. We get a lot of Wishbone fans. We get a lot of Auburn fans in there. So if you're thinking of coming, if you're going to be at DragonCon, you're thinking of coming, but you're like, I don't know if I want to hear him read his superhero stuff or sci-fi, I'm going to have some Auburn stuff that I'm going to read for you, perform for you, put some energy into, just like I always do. So come on to DragonCon, and I believe it's on my schedule. If you go to www.plexico.net and look for my convention appearances, my schedule's on there. You'll see the room, the day, the time, everything. All right, back to business. More questions.
Next question is from Anna Swenson, mm-hmm. who says, are we putting too much pressure on this highly talented team considering our tough schedule? And she says, side note, I'm loving the energy and enthusiasm coming from the coaches.
You know, I got to say, people have been saying that Gus is like a new man this year. He's exercising. He's in there with the players. He's talking. He's being a little more. I mean, here's some really weird signs that he's a different person this year. He let the beat reporters mm-hmm. hang around longer for the first practice. They couldn't take pictures. I think it was Jay Tate that suggested that to him, and he said, well, that's interesting. We'll do it. And then he's been working out with the team. He's been working with the quarterbacks and the offense really closely. And he had folks over for the picnic and for something else at his house recently where he really is kind of in his element. You know, he's a lot looser in his own element than he is when he has to go somewhere and speak to crowds and all.
But even at media days, he mm-hmm. was a different person, I felt like, than he was the last couple of years. He was more relaxed, more confident.
Are we seeing 2004 Tuberville?
Maybe he knows he has a good team and he feels good about it. The other thing is, I mean, I have a couple of theories about this. One is, I mean, it may just be that he knows he has a good team and they're going to be pretty good. The other thing is, I think, we had the, you know, kind of the ouster of the president. And I think, the athletic director has been doing a good job. And I think maybe he's made it clear to Gus that he and the board of trustees have made it clear to Gus kind of where he stands. Mm-hmm. And that's given him some confidence, some kind of clear direction. And maybe having, some other people kind of out of the picture has helped. But also I think him, having Dillingham as the offense coordinator and Gus having his hand back on the steering wheel as the offense. And I think that, the success they had in the bowl game with him calling the plays around the offense really kind of brought back to him, like, this is what I like to do. This is why I got into, really enjoyed this job, is the designing and calling plays stuff. And I think he's excited to get back out there and do that part. I have another theory. I want to throw this out there. It's 2019 and this isn't like the end of the world, but I wonder if Gus has been talking to somebody therapist, leadership coach, when I say that, like an executive coach, a lot of senior executives have corporate and otherwise have coaches that meet with them that help them with how they conduct themselves and stuff.
That would be.
And I wonder if he has somebody that he's been talking to that's helped him kind of get past some of this stuff and be who he wants to be.
That would be great. And it seems to be working if it is. So that's whatever he's doing, keep doing it.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. It's a simple question from Auburn Tiger Time. Can Auburn run the football?
Well, with a senior offensive line and potentially a dual threat quarterback and the running back stable we've been talking about already, if we can't, something wrong. Something wrong somewhere.
You're correct. And the clicking sound you hear is I'm double checking the stat before I say it. But we, you say that. Where did Auburn rank last year in yards per game among SEC teams?
Total offense?
No, rushing.
Rushing yards per game last year. I don't think we were as high as we usually are. I mean, we didn't have a 1,000-yard back. So I'm going to say we were probably, out of 14 teams last year, I'm going to say we were probably ninth.
We were 10th.
Yeah, all right.
Right behind Vanderbilt.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's where you want to be in life.
And
well, not in
ahead
life.
Of can't run the ball, Ole Miss.
Oh, gosh.
So, again, really not a good rushing team last year for Auburn. No. And that was the number one thing. And I think that's why he's asking this question.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the reason that the offense really took a step back, is that we could not run the ball as nearly as effectively as we did in the past few seasons.
Right.
But I think you're right. I think the experience and talent on the offensive line is a big factor. And also, I think, you know, last year was, you know, Whitlow was expected to carry the load, and it was too much too soon for him. Mm. You know, and I think maybe Cam Martin was expected to carry the load, but we saw that wasn't going to work.
Yeah, well, he started the season out. I mean, the season started out. Cam, I mean, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of 2005 when they tried to make Trey Smith the starting running back, and everybody knew it's not going to work, and we lost a game because of it. And we almost lost to Washington because, you know, a lot of that Washington game, Cam Martin was in there trying to be the running back. And it wasn't until kind of the end of the game that Whitlow started, you know, they started giving more carries to Whitlow, and everybody, and he was kind of the Kenny Irons, you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think last year was a lot of feeling out because we had a lot of, yeah, Whitlow was a freshman. Martin was starting for the first time. We had a lot of first year or first starting out in that role running backs last year. There wasn't anybody really other than Malik. Which Malik am I thinking about?
Miller.
Yeah. And he just has never panned out as a power back as we hoped he would.
Yeah.
I think he's moved to fullback now, and maybe he'll be a good blocker, and that's great. I want him to, you know, do some good stuff, but he's never really turned out to be a guy that can really drag the chains, and he doesn't have breakaway speed, so he's just kind of been struggling at everything. But, no, I think this year we have a combination of players that have got a, you know, look, Shiver's got a year under his belt now. Whitlow's got a year under his belt. They should both be healthy, knock on wood. And then, you know, you add your new guys, and Cam Martin is a senior finally, you know. So.
And again, like you're saying, talent and depth at running back, experience and talent on the offensive line. And then I'm going to say, if Gatewood's a starter, we got a quarterback who can run the ball.
Yeah.
And I think we know one thing, and that is if Gus has a quarterback that can run the ball, then we will have an effective running offense. Now, I don't know whether, you know, Gatewood could throw it effectively and stuff, but I think we know whichever quarterback plays, there's going to be some quarterback runs in there, and that's going to keep the defense off balance and will help the running game much more than Stidham did.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think the answer is, I think, yes, Auburn's going to be able to run the ball better than they did last year.
And I'll say right now, in terms of the quarterback business, since you mentioned it, I think it's going to come down to, can Gatewood complete short touch passes? Because it seemed like the thing he was struggling with the first couple of practices the last few days was just doing the little dumps and the bubble screens and stuff. Apparently Nix was on the button from the jump, and Gatewood was kind of hitting the ground with him and stuff. And, you know, if it's fine and dandy, but I mean, you know, Cam was terrible at A-Day his year, but you got to get that. They can't put him out there and say, well, he can't run a screen pass. You know what I mean? He's going to throw it to the other team, or he's going to throw it in the dirt. If he can get that going, then I feel really good about him. But if Bo Nix is the starting quarterback, I think that what that means is that they don't think Joey Gatewood is consistent enough at even the most basic passes. So let's hope that's not the case.
Yeah. I want to go back for a second. We answered the second part of Anna Swinson's question, but not the first part.
Oh, okay.
Are we putting too much pressure on this team considering the tough schedule?
Well, I don't think anybody is saying Auburn's going to go undefeated. I think that everybody understands, it has any sense at all, understands that this team's going to lose a couple of games at the very least, you know, if not 3, 4, 5. But I think what we look for and the pressure that should be on them is to at least look competent and look like they're going in the right direction. And, you know, I mean, it's like the 1981 team was 5-6, but those six losses, you know, most of them were within a score. And they were fighting and bleeding, scratching to the very end, and you understood they just didn't quite have enough pieces to put it all together, but they certainly, you know, it was going in the right direction. I think what we want to see is this Auburn team either winning or playing really hard in a defeat. What we don't want to see is the Tennessee game.
Yeah, I think we want to see progress. Like, I think the offense has been kind of, you know, up and down the last couple of years, and I think we want to see a better, more consistent Gus Malzahn offense, I think, is the biggest thing. I think the defense is going to be solid. So,
yeah,
I think we want to see that. And I think you're right. If the offense, again, if they play well and they lose to a team that has more talent than them or whatever, or on the road to a really good team, then that's just how it is.
But in terms of pressure, I mean, I just think they're going to have tons of pressure on them regardless. And I don't know that we're putting any undue extra pressure on them this year. We have hopes, but I don't know that it's like,
are we putting pressure on them? I don't think so. I think this team doesn't have a lot of pressure on it. They're not picked very high. Mm-hmm. They're not picked to win the SEC. They're not picked in the top 10. But they have the talent to do those things.
Yeah.
So I think in that sense, like, they have opportunity without the pressure. Nobody's picking them to win the national title or anything. So I think there's not pressure on them.
Well,
but at the same time, the schedule is very, very hard.
Except for Gus. That's the one pressure they have on him, is knowing that if they go out there and stink the place up, he's going to get fired. That's the one thing I think that they'd maybe know, that they need to play well enough that he doesn't get the blame for it and get pitched overboard because of it.
That's fair. All right, next question.
You folks now see why this is a question show, because we got lots of questions.
All right, next question is from Carl Von Drunker.
Yes.
Who says that two-parter. First, could Sal Cannella play for Coach Bruce Pearl next season?
I don't know enough about Sal Cannella to be able to answer that. What do you know?
I mean, again, I think he played some basketball
before,
but I don't think he's a Division I basketball player, and certainly not, you know, like on that level. I don't think so.
He could have maybe played for Tony Barbie, but not for...
Yeah, he could have started for them. So it's a different planet now, I think.
Yeah.
And he said, is this a mild hype, too much of hard schedule to win type of season that turns into Kerryon Johnson being prophetic and not just a huge homer?
Yeah, I get to use this again because good old...
Carry on my wayward son.
I did not delete that off the board. I've kept it just in case. But yeah, Kerryon tweeted the other day. This was awesome. He says, this is just, it was like Saturday morning. He said, this is just to say that Auburn's going to win the national championship this year. Okay, you can carry on with your day now. His tweets are awesome. He's so funny. But I don't know if he's going to be accurate, but it would be nice.
But you can't say anything until next week.
Can't say anything till next week. Maybe, who knows? Maybe the barbecue will tell me we're going defeated. I just don't know what the barbecue is going to tell me yet.
That's right. Next question is from Rob Morgan, who says, one thing I'd like to hear discussed. Why am I supposed to be afraid of Auburn's quarterback and offense? They scored 7 points against Michigan State in their bowl game and won 7-6.
Right. Who's quarterback in
Oregon?
Oregon. Okay. If you look at the Oregon quarterback overall numbers or whatever, he had some games where he lit it up. But from what I remember, and I've gone back and watched some of their highlights from last year too with him, he also had some games that he wasn't that good. And I mean, you know, it was kind of like with Browning last year with Washington. Wasn't that the guy, Jake Browning?
Yep,
that's right. We gave him fits. the whole game, there was a 350-pound man in white hanging off of him every other snap, you know. So this is not score a minute Oregon. This is a more normal football Oregon, but still, they're talented, they're good, but I'm not scared of them if I'm Auburn. I have a healthy respect for them, sure. But I don't think that they're going to come out and, like, win him the Heisman Trophy in that game. Do you?
No. I mean, they are not that Oregon team. And I'm working on some stuff for Oregon preview. But I'm just going to lay this out there right now. I think there is a distinct pattern in their games, and they have not played well away from home. They are a team that is way better in their stadium. When they go on the road or to neutral sites, they have been fairly mediocre the last two or three years. So I think that's a big difference.
They ended up playing like a three overtime game with the Washington team that we beat last year, if I remember correctly. Yeah. That's on YouTube. That's worth watching. It's a good game.
All right, a few more questions. The next is from Orlando AU Tiger, who says, who are the Auburn football top five fullback, H-back, tight ends of all time? Lots of good options.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And there was one of the other shows, I can't remember who it was now, Eric Blackerby, I think, maybe? Yeah, I think it was him and Painter Sharpless. They were having that conversation on Twitter, and they carried it over onto their show. And their radio show, and I was having the conversation. I kind of jumped in on their conversation and listed like every fullback that's been any good for us for the last 30 years. And I said, we got plenty of options, you know, besides just the last couple of years. So we've had some really good fullback. But the thing of it is, they were kind of equating fullbacks, tight ends, and H-backs as almost the same player. And honestly, there's only been a handful of seasons in Auburn history that they were remotely interchangeable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think it's recent history versus further back history.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, like Tommy Agee would not have been a tight end.
No, but I think we've had some great tight ends, and we've had some great fullbacks. You know, we don't have to just stick with the guys in the last 2 to 3 years. Walter Reeves, I think, was a great tight end at Auburn.
But wouldn't have played fullback. I mean, that's what I'm saying. They used to be very different positions. Now they kind of are a little more interchangeable, but that's because that position has evolved more than any other offensive position, I think.
This is the way I was trying to answer it. Pick the top five guys out of those positions, but the top five total out of either fullbacks or H-backs or tight ends.
Well, the fullback in 2012-2013, obviously, the Illinois... Jay Prosh. I mean, in terms of a blocker. But, I mean, you would never stick him at tight end and have him catch a pass out there.
That's not the question.
Right.
The question is, of the guys, all the guys who play those positions...
Yeah.
Pick the best five.
I know.
Their position.
To me, that's like saying pick the five best players, including defensive linemen, punters, and safeties. And I'm like, well, we can do that. I'm just not sure it's so worthwhile.
We'll do it another way. Pick 2 to 3 fullbacks.
Okay.
Only fullbacks.
All right. Fullbacks that I think are awesome. Jay Prosh, Tommy Agee, and
Fred Beasley.
Yes, yeah, and Tony Richardson,
Tony Richardson, that's another one.
Those are good. Those guys were, because they were offensive. They weren't just blockers. They were also weapons in their own right, carrying the ball, except for Prosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. All right, now, just like tight end, H-back kind of guys.
And don't forget Heath Evans, but again, he wasn't really much of a ball carrier. He was more just a good
blocker. And I don't think he's in the same category as these other guys.
Yeah.
And Chandler Cox just started for 4 years.
And that's true. And Johnson back in 02, you know, 01, 02, 03 back in there, the big shrimp guy. He was a great blocker, but again, wasn't going to score.
Michael Johnson?
We just talked about him.
Brandon Johnson.
Brandon Johnson, right. But again, not a big ball carrier, not a scorer. I honestly, with fullbacks, I think Beasley, Richardson, AG are the three that were both great blockers and good scorers. They were running backs.
And run the ball and do something with it. Catch the ball, too.
Yeah, they were running backs in their own right and great blocker, lead blockers for a run, for another good running back. All three of them.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, who else?
Now do just tight ends.
Walter Reeves and in terms of catching, in terms of an offensive threat, Lutzen Kirchen, but all around, Walter Reeves is probably our best tight end, right. I think. Who am I forgetting?
Lorenzo Diamond, Cooper Wallace, Fred Baxter.
Yeah, yeah. Pat Dye had a lot of good tight ends is the thing. You go back to the Pat Dye era, you get those good tight ends, yeah.
But who is the Robert Johnson, that giant guy?
Oh, yeah. That's yeah, absolutely. Robert Johnson, he was just like a defensive end playing tight end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I think Walter Reeves and Lutzen Kirchen maybe I'd pick.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right. I feel like we answered that question pretty
well. Yeah, that's good. H-back, I have no idea. It's like, is that even a position? Yeah. I don't know what they do.
It's the flex fullback blocking back position. I mean, it's kind of the Chandler Cox.
We'll say Chandler position. Cox then. Yeah. Eric Smith. I don't know.
All right. Next question comes from Ken Ringer, and he asks, will Auburn blitz more in 2019? He says, last season, our defensive coordinator chose not to blitz very often. In the Washington game, with the game on the line, he chose to blitz twice in the fourth quarter. We got pressure the first time, and it was an incomplete pass. The next time, we blitzed the safety, and he sacked the quarterback. The quarterback fumbled the ball. We recovered, and that was kind of the game. Mm-hmm. Can we get enough pressure with our front four, or we roll the dice and send a linebacker or a safety? And he just says, Oregon's quarterback's really good. We got to get pressure on him to win the game.
Yeah.
I think an interesting thing is, I think, Igman Yongany is a talented, fast guy. He's got a year under his belt now. So I think he's going to be better. And I think Javaris Davis that moved over to the other corner, he's a very fast guy. He's a good cover guy too. And we got Christian Tutt at nickel. And two good safeties. I think we're going to play more man-to-man than we have played recently, because we feel like those guys can run with anybody. And I think that's going to enable Auburn to blitz more than we have in the past, whether it's to send Christian Tutt off the edge, whether it's to send the young linebackers like Owen Papo, or the safeties. I think we may blitz more, and I think we got to get more pressure on the quarterback than we did last year. This is another thing, just like improving and running the ball. And I think we could. I think we could see a situation where we blitz more this year, and it makes a big difference.
I defer to your knowledge of the defensive intricacy, sir.
Yeah, that's my feeling. I think it could really happen. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that we kind of need to do. I'm going to say this. I think we're going to get – better pressure from the front forward, and I'll talk about that some next week.
Okay.
All right. Our next question comes from John Nall, who says, the barbecue is nearing, which means a new set of superhero showdown comparisons from Jared and his pet eagle.
It does. Oh, I hope he's been taking good care of that eagle. He's probably been keeping it in his house like they used to keep the war eagle in the apartment with the people that kept the eagle. Remember that for a while there?
Oh, yeah.
I think Jared, knowing Jared, he's probably been having that eagle like having dinner with the family every night.
All right, so here's his question. He says, if it's okay, I'd like to see what superhero he thinks this team's going to be going into the season. He said, I'd like to add an opinion as well. Looking at this team, I see them as the Winter Soldier of recent teams,
ooh,
but the movie, not the hero.
Okay.
Last year's season was highly anticipated Age of Ultron. It was ultimately just an okay movie, but didn't live up to the hype. Still chasing the magic of the 2013 Avengers season.
Yeah, that's
the
fair.
Winter Soldier wasn't as highly anticipated, but was surprisingly excellent film, and more importantly, it set the tone for great things to come. This team isn't expected to do much, especially following last year's flop, but with the depth in place, added the right amount of youth and excitement in some key spots, this year could be a surprisingly excellent season. And he ends his email by saying, Team John, the Cup.
I was with him right up till the end. It dawns on me now, the whole Team John thing was from the trial of Gus Malzahn, wasn't it?
I can't remember. I think we did it before that for something else.
Okay. All right. Well, in any case. No, I think he's right, though. I like those two comparisons a lot.
Yeah. And so Jared responds.
Oh.
Would you like me to read his response?
Yes, yes. What did Jared say?
Jared says, right now, everything seems to like it might line up for us, but there's still some questions and things that need to be proved. So I wish I could see us as a preseason Superman. I don't have the confidence to put us in league with the Man of Steel just yet. But I like our potential, and I'm hoping for good things. So for the preseason, I'm going to stay with the original Captain Marvel, or Shazam, as he's more commonly known. Tons of potential, lots of variety and abilities. But as comic book nerds know, he's still just a teenager, Billy Batson. And his youth and experience are his greatest challenges, much like our quarterback situation.
I like
it. But me, I'm ready to start Shazam, hear the crack of lightning, and emerge with the power and ferocity of the gods.
Well, good. Well done, Jared. Absolutely. And all we need is bark.
Babe, we don't need it. You just did it.
I did it. All right, sometimes you just got to do it. Yeah. So that's good. That was very well put by Jared. I'm looking forward to his feature this fall when we get back into the games of doing his weekly superhero comparison.
I am too. That's always fun. All right. That is it for questions.
That's it. All right. Well, we got just a time for just a quick little. If I push this pink button.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
And I believe that there's not a lot of news, but you had a note about an early game.
Yes, this is very exciting.
Okay.
The Auburn Oregon game is, as you know, Labor Day weekend.
I do know that because we always have our big out of conference opening game while I'm busy doing Dragon Con stuff every freaking year. Ugh.
Which is, it is what it is.
It is.
But this year there is a week zero, basically, SEC game, August 24th, the week before that, Florida plays Miami.
And I say huge.
Well, sort of big.
It's real live college football, and Florida's on our schedule this year. I'm not 100% going to be watching that game.
I'm going to say it could be FIU versus South Florida. So, yeah, Florida versus Miami. I won't even say.
Please clap.
I'll just go ahead and say, you know what? Let's just go ahead. Yeah, we got to. It is because it's that's a big game. It is,
and it's the return of college football, which I am very, very excited about.
And that's just in a little over
Weeks. 2 weeks from Saturday.
Good gosh, good heavens! Wow, there will already have been football played before I get on the plane for Atlanta this year. That never happens. That's crazy.
Florida might already have an L.
Wow. Yeah. Although unlikely, but yeah. Yeah, usually the first game is the Thursday night I land in Atlanta. I usually go hook up with Jared and with Larry Davis, and we go somewhere to eat Mexican food, and then the game is on the TV or something. So it'll already have been played. That's crazy.
It's exciting.
It is.
Just like that.
Any other around the SEC news? I think didn't Georgia suspend a player?
They kicked a linebacker off the team today.
Yeah, I was pointing out that if somebody said, "What would our record against Georgia be if we opened the season with them every year?" and I said undefeated, we always get them so late that by the time that we play them, they've healed everybody and they've forgiven all the players that got suspended. So, yeah, it's too bad.
It is, but it's I haven't seen any other big practice news out of other SEC teams. No big, injury news or depth chart news, anything real exciting so far.
How funny would it be if Oklahoma's new quarterback won the Heisman Trophy over Tua? Jalen Hurts.
I think it'd be funny. I mean, again, I would very much cheer for that.
That would be so funny, John. That would be so funny. It'd be three in a row, too, for Oklahoma. Three Heisman-winning quarterbacks in a row, which is insane.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
But it would be the revenge of Jalen. Man, that would be so funny. That would be like if that would be like if Bo Nix won the job here and Gatewood transferred to Oklahoma and won the Heisman. That would be so but because it would happen
bite
in Alabama.
Your tongue.
Yeah, but because it would happen in Alabama, see, it's good. It would be good that happened, not bad. It would be good, so. All right, I guess that's going to do it.
That's going
to
do it.
All right, our time is up, and we thank you for yours. Remember to go to www.auwishbone.com, hook up with us, and become part of the family. And otherwise, we will reconvene here in a week to eat the barbecue and to inform everyone as to what it tells us about Auburn's record and the SEC record. And I've still got to figure out what the theme's going to be this year, but I'll come up with that. So our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
So what becomes of you?
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Smoke weed every day.
Are we good?
We are good.
Go to bed.